Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Homemade Broadcast. Happy freaking New Year, everybody. We are back, baby. My name is Will Koontz, and joining me from a Christmas curse, she is involved in some sort of hellscape inside of hell. There is Christmas in hell, though, but it's very dark. It's Anna Hummel.
It's me. I have to apologize. I did not sleep well last night. I maybe woke up for a bit from a baby nap, maybe 3 minutes ago, but I'm ready to go.
Excellent. Well, thank you. I was a little concerned about that. I'm not going to lie, because this is a new year and we had to make a little bit of change, you know, to the start time here, with life changes that are going on. So I believe going forward, at least for the time being, we're going to try the 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, which may work better for some people. I know that there's a lot more people logged on right now than there currently Ooh. Are when we was at 4. So that's good news. And welcome to those folks. Anna, we were away for a long time. It was Christmas time. It was the new year. And we went and enjoyed that and had a good time. What did you do?
The whole break?
Yeah, I mean, like
9 days of action. I'm trying to pack into just a few sentences here.
Yes.
Well, I'll say this. It was awesome. I love Christmas. I had a lot of Christmas fun, a lot of Christmas cheer. I even suggested when I went to my boyfriend's brother's house that maybe we have a Christmas PJ party. and I dressed up. Did anyone else? No. But I was dressed up. Because I called it, because I love Christmas. I feel kind of like, you know, when people are really trying to show their commitment to the group, you know, I feel like I am new to the Christmas game, but I am trying to show more spirit than anyone else to really show that, you know, it's almost like virtue signaling in a way. But every time, you know, they're like, oh, like, are you Christian? I'm like, no, I'm I guess Jewish by culture, but I want to let you know, person I'm speaking to, that I am all about Christmas. Okay. I want that to be known. I believe in the body and spirit of Christ, or whatever you guys think is cool with me, as long as there's snowmen and Christmas trees, because I'm all about that ish.
It's weird though, because you're from California and California Jews celebrate Christmas. Many do. Not all.
Many do. I did not. Some would say I was traumatized as a child when I asked if I too could celebrate Christmas. And my father said, I believe it was F no. He told me F no. I said, okay, we won't have to do lights. Can I please get a Christmas tree? He said, F no. I said, could I settle with a Hanukkah bush? He said, F no.
Wow.
So unfortunately for me, I never got to experience Christmas, you know, that feeling of it being Christmas morning and running down the stairs only to realize you're Jewish, and that sucks. So, yeah, I'm all about that Christmas spirit right now. So
what was your father's apprehension about not letting you celebrate Christmas? He is, you know, a Jewish man, but when I think of your father, I don't really think of him as a particularly religious man necessarily, but, you know, I definitely culturally Jewish 100%.
Yes. Not that you're like considered a sellout, and it's not that my parents were ever really religious, but it was like, that's not your culture. You don't do that. You get Hanukkah. And I was trying to explain to him that Hanukkah sucks. It's just, but what I realized, Will, is that oftentimes it doesn't matter if something is or is not real. It's the perception that can bring you joy. Much like maybe you went to a Christmas party, wasn't great, but you got a really good Christmas picture. you know, and you look pretty in your dress. You post it online. Even the party wasn't that great. Maybe you got a lot of joy out of posting that picture and everybody liked it and said how pretty you were. And you got joy through it that way. I feel like it's kind of the same thing there. You know, didn't really. Oh, man, I totally forgot where I was going with this.
Well, we're a bit rusty. You did have time off, not only from this podcast that we do here, but your mm-hmm. regular job. Did you go back to work this week?
I did, yes. And that's a rude awakening to go from waking up at like 9, 10 a.m. back to 5:02 a.m. start time.
I know.
So,
I was texting
it's a bit,
you.
It's a bit rough.
I was texting you yesterday.
Oh, this is what I was going to say about that. Sorry if I could just finish that thought. Is that it didn't matter. At a certain point, I realized that if I didn't have to experience Christmas to experience the joy or experience Hanukkah and experience the joy, all I had to do was give the perception to my other, you know, non-Jewish friends that Hanukkah was awesome. And that almost made up for it. And I remember having conversations in like second grade and they didn't understand Hanukkah and the concept. And I'm like, it's like Christmas 8 days in a row. I remember saying that knowing it was a lie.
Yeah.
But the sparkle and the like, just like the striking of envy in another human being is very intoxicating, where they'd be like, oh, 8 days in a row of Christmas. I'm like, yeah. So that was a lie. It wasn't even, you know, half the day Christmas was. But nevertheless, it was nice to be the envy of others. That's a fun feeling.
Yeah, it was. I did a little bit of Hanukkah and Christmas growing up. And Christmas is always the fun stuff. Hanukkah was always like gifts that weren't really gifts. It was like, it's the first day. Here's a present. It's wrapped. It's socks. It's underwear. And kids hate getting that stuff. So it was always stuff like that you needed during Hanukkah. And then the fun stuff was Christmas. I was trying to find the Jeffrey Epstein list that was listed. I think that was the influx of our listenership at the beginning. It was like super high. And I think it's because I titled this the Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Kimmel Epstein list extravaganza, which I would like to talk about with you. But I don't have any. I was trying to go on the website since I felt like I was letting people down here. And it's crashed. The list of documents where the website has crashed already.
Interesting that you say that. I actually did a show today with one Seth Kushner.
Interesting.
Actually.
Yeah.
Him and I, just me and Seth doing a show. And we talked a lot about this. And he thought I was going to be very excited about the Epstein list. And he found out I am not. I am not. Because it's just lies and deception. There's nothing that's going to come of this. Much like the JFK documents that were promised to us in 2017, where finally the truth would be revealed, we soon found out we didn't learn anything. And much like this, they're basically feeding us information that we already knew and trying to re-gift it to us as if they didn't give it to us before. You know, like with the, ooh, Bill Clinton's name. Yeah, we knew that. We knew that. Tell us something new, but guess what? They won't.
Yeah.
They never will. This is a house of cards that cannot fall. So much so to the point where Mr. Jeffrey Epstein himself needed to get whacked. He needed to be removed because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. Or maybe he could, but you know what? They couldn't leave it to chance. So
I agree with you. I wasn't very excited when I heard this list was being released either. And the website crashed. Let's be honest here. It's not like some cabal. The CIA didn't hack in and hack the list. They obviously allowed for this list to be released. It's going to be nothing.
Correct.
That you're
going to
see.
There's going to be nothing there.
They kind of put it, and they do this, I think, because they're like, see, nothing here. We released the document. See, all you conspiracy kooks.
Trusted. The government tells you what's going on. Nope.
I mean, they do. No, they do, but they lie. They lie by omission a lot, too. They'll allow these documents to be released. And I'm sure there's thousands of pages. And I'm sure they've been, sorted through redacted. With a fine tooth comb and probably not even redacted, but it's going to be names like Bill Clinton. Yeah. Again, we know. We knew many years ago when they had the painting of Bill Clinton in the dress that I got you for Christmas, put on a hoodie.
Dress. I wore that recently. It brings me much joy. Thank you, Will.
Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. I'm glad you liked it. And so, I mean, it's nothing. It's nothing going to be super revealing, or I don't think, like, unless it's like Alex Jones was on the plane. Now we're getting juicy.
Yeah, but even then, I feel like that in and of itself is obvious, like who they're willing to offer up, you know, and it's like on what documents are we talking about precisely? I mean, is this the like I raped kids document, or is this like who he was hanging out with documents? I don't know. Because he was hanging out with a lot of people, including Trump, Clinton, yeah. You know, a lot of academics, which people hold near and dear to their heart, like Eric Weinstein. It was so funny to like see a picture of Epstein. And in the back, you could just see like a fat and ugly Eric Weinstein from like the late 90s or something. And everyone was like, who even is that? I'm like, never mind. You wouldn't even care. You know, so...
He is a
lot of people.
No disrespect to Eric Weinstein. I think he's fascinating. This last Joe Rogan experience was compelling, but also, you know, in retrospect, when I thought about it, again, just like Epstein's list, nothing really there, but just interesting nuggets that were put about. Like he's trying to hack into space time and like I still don't know what that means. I'm like, well, I just don't have the IQ for it. I'm like, no, maybe it's just rhetorical games and language play where he's saying stuff and not saying it. I don't know. It was interesting, but I don't have the IQ, I guess, you know, to fully understand this stuff.
Isn't he an economist? Not that you can't dip into other disciplines, but I always get confused because it seems like he was he knows a lot about, or was the go-to voice. What was that app that everyone was on, including us?
Clubhouse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of time I heard him talking about trans issues, and now he's trying to hack space time. I'm like, don't you do econ? What's going on here?
I think he's a mathematician, if I'm not mistaken, by trade.
Say again?
I think he's a mathematician by trade.
Oh, okay.
Positive.
That would make a little bit more sense. I thought he was an econ guy. I know his brother, Brett Weinstein, is an evolutionary biology guy. So yeah. I was actually more familiar with him and his wife than I was with Eric. But right. I find to be grotesque. Is that rude to say?
Which one?
Why does he look like Barbara Bush with dark hair?
Who?
I don't know.
Which one?
Eric Weinstein.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a heinous man. He's a heinous creature. For sure. I like, it doesn't matter. Like, good. You should be ugly if you're a nerd. You shouldn't be a hot nerd. But yeah, he is particularly, because like his brother is not a model by any means, but he's a handsome man,
I would say.
I would say he's borderline handsome. But he's kind
of borderline handsome.
I think that's the most charitable we can be here today. But he's not a mathematician. He's a evolutionary biologist, right? So it's,
yes.
I don't know. He just has that outdoorsy kind of look. Like he's not rugged by any measure either, but he does have just something about him. Definitely got the looks in the family. I would say his brother, what's his brother's name? Matt?
Eric.
No. What's the hot one?
Matt. Brett.
Brett is probably, I would say Brett is a solid 6.2 on the look scale. Eric, I'm going to go 4.
No, he's not a 4. I'm saying 4 to 6 is considered somewhat average. Eric is ugly. He looks like Barbara Bush with dark hair. He's gross.
He looks like a thumb. Like a big toe.
He is like, I mean... I think it's generous to say if he's a 1.2, 1.23.
Hey, just interrupting real quick for an ad for HMB Radio. I know you're listening to HMB Radio, but wherever you're listening to HMB Radio, please click the upvote button. Give it 5 stars, Spotify, iTunes, whatever. This helps us with the algorithm, helps grow the show, and we really couldn't do it without you. willsyoutube.com if you're listening on podcast. Join us. It's fun. Let's get back to the show.
Like, I remember, what's his name? Bobby Kelly said something about, like, someone was so ugly or a birthmark was so ugly. It was something like that, that it would ruin your appetite at a barbecue. Like that analogy. And Eric kind of has a look where you're like, ugh, like, I'm not even hungry anymore. Like, I'm good. He has those like warts on his face.
Yes. That's what it is.
You know, it's very unsightly. So
It says on Google that his professor, that his profession is American director, which is even weirder.
Wait, what?
That's what it says. Is it says American director on Google.
Well, can we wiki that or something?
He's a hedge fund director and podcast host. He was the joint managing director for Thiel Capital from 2013 to 2022. Okay. So he just he has his PhD in mathematical physics from Harvard.
Okay. I wonder what like Shabbat dinners are like at the Weinstein household, or like a Thanksgiving, you know, between Eric and Brett, who basically talk for a living, like what that experience would be like at the dinner table. Mm. Mm-hmm. But
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Eric Weinstein's wife, hot or not?
I don't know what she looks like.
Exactly. That's why I want you to answer.
Oh, well, the fact that you're bringing it up, I feel like she's surprisingly attractive for how gross he is.
Interesting. You know me well. You really do know me well.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have brought it up if it was something you'd expect.
I don't know about that, but that's Pia...
Malani,
Indian.
Very attractive.
Feather. Well,
listen, that photo, that sepia one in the top right left.
Yes.
That's pretty strong for an Eric Weinstein.
Yes, that's a LinkedIn photo. That's as good as it gets. The best of the best, professionally taken headshot. She is, I would say, if I were to be on hotornot.com, I would swipe hot. Then there's the one next to it, which is probably what she looks like. It's very granulated. I would still say like a solid 5.5, which is a home run for the man who looks like a toe.
Yes, he is gross. He is gross. That's pretty good. Now, Brett Weinstein's wife, I want to say, is more evenly matched with him. I know that they do a podcast together. I'm forgetting the name of it right now, but she's also, I think, an evolutionary biologist.
It's a Dark Horse podcast. And it is Dark Horse. Heather Hying.
Yeah, Heather. Say it again, Heather.
Heather Hying. Hying. Right?
I don't know.
I don't even know how to spell that.
I feel like she has a characteristically dark. Low voice, like a deep voice for a woman, I think, if I remember correctly. But
okay, this is
she more evenly matched.
Yeah, let's get this pulled up here. And do you have it? Do you see it?
No.
Oh, it's not there. Add to the stage. Here we go. There we go. That's her.
I remember her being less gross.
This top left picture, not great. These ones, she's just like, you know, it's a mom. She looks like a mom.
She kind of looks like Brett, actually.
A little bit. If you could get the beard on her, they would look very similar.
Yeah, they look like brothers.
She's got great eyes, though. Very alluring eyes. Everything else, not so great, but that's okay.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be great, and that's okay.
You're a nerd. You don't need to be hot. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So I did a great adventure over the holiday. I did a road trip.
You did many adventures.
Yes. I did a long road trip today or last week for Christmas up to Amelia Island for one. Then it was my first experience in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Didn't go to the super rowdy part. I went to the nice kind of retiree. It's called Cherry Grove, North Myrtle Beach, which Myrtle Beach is very big. It's like Cherry Grove, North Myrtle Beach, like miles and miles away from the riffraff down in Myrtle Beach. That was okay. I mean, it was cold. So, you know, obviously that wasn't ideal for the beach, but it was nice. Went and walked around there. The roads in South Carolina and the drivers in South Carolina, shockingly disturbing. I-95 through South Carolina, and I heard that this is a trope. It's a thing, a very well-known thing, that South Carolina doesn't spend any money on infrastructure at all. And you could definitely tell the difference passing into North Carolina Than getting off the road in South Carolina. I mean, there's a point, literally, we took these like little back side roads, state roads, and, you know, there's potholes. There's, it's like you're in Haiti. And then all of a sudden it says, welcome to North Carolina. And it's like a nice road all of a sudden. Sure. I was a little shocked because it's federal property, I believe. I don't know what the, you know, protocol for road fixing and infrastructure fixing on interstates, but I assumed that it was, you know, federal property. I-95, there's some parts that you will F your car up. Like if you don't see the pothole and you hit it at 70 miles an hour, you are going to get a flat tire running over this.
Yeah.
Thing.
I lived in Detroit for 4 years. That was a massive problem there. So yeah, you can easily mess up your car. Yeah.
And you have no recourse, right? You can't like call somebody and be like, hey, your messed up road caused my damage to my car, right?
No, you just gotta look out for them or fill them yourself. You know, those are your two options.
That sucks. It seems like there should be, if it's taxpayer money, it seems like you should be able to have some sort of fund or just like fix the road. I don't know. I mean, the traffic, it was weird too, because the traffic coming back from, like, we took I-95 the whole way back home pretty much. So no side roads or state roads. And the traffic was just abysmal all the way pretty much to North Carolina, to the point where I was like, well, good. I'm glad we're not going 70, 80 miles an hour. So I'm not doing damage to this vehicle while we're traveling over these potholes. And maybe that's on purpose, because as soon as we cross into Georgia, wide open again, traffic's moving, good to go. I don't know if it's possible to do that. There was a lot of, like he didn't see anything. Like it said that there was a lot of, you know, traffic and cars backed up, but I never saw any like accidents really. So is it possible that they could somehow slow down traffic on the interstate? You know what I mean?
With the potholes?
No, just like, I think that they're afraid that the potholes are going to mess the car up. Just like cause, like block a lane or something and then let it back up for an hour and then remove the barricades, so it's like kind of opens up again and gets traffic moving. But that delay backs up to the point where it's like an hour behind you. You're still going to have traffic. It's going to cause everybody to slow down. Does that make any sense?
I don't quite understand what you're saying. Like they purposely put up barricades to slow people down for what reason again?
Because the potholes are so bad. They don't want people to hit them at 80 miles per hour.
Oh, okay. So instead of fixing them, they allocate resources to barricade them.
Yeah.
Possibly. Sure. Okay. I feel like a lot of times you've seen like ingenuity when it comes to just being lazy, you know, like you go out of your way to do something instead of actually fix the problem.
Right.
So.
Did I even introduce us or did I just jump right into it? My name's Will. This is Anna Hummel.
You introduced me.
I did. Okay. I'm kind of forgetting. I feel very rusty because I've been away for like 2 weeks, which is weird. I don't really.
Is it weird that you don't have to work at nights anymore?
It is. I'm still not. I'm getting kind of used to it now. For those that don't know, I did step aside from my night duties of radio on the Johnny B Show before Christmas. So I don't know if it, like I feel okay, but I don't know if it's really sunk in yet or not.
Do you still feel like, oh, snap, I got to get ready to,
I don't have any of that, which is weird because I still have nightmares about college. Like, oh my God, do I have anything to do for school? Sure. Sometimes I'll get that, but so far, no, I haven't had any, like, I'm forgetting to do something or anything like that. I miss, I miss doing radio, but I don't miss anything else about it. So, you know, I don't know what's going on. I'm just putting it in. I'm letting Jesus take the wheel on that whole thing. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I did step aside from that and we're going to be doing the programs here. I'm going to be doing streams and stuff. I did set up a Substack today. I had a conversation with Cumulus's head of digital today. And he gave me some insights and he was like, you need to start a Patreon. I've had some people reach out and like, hey, you know, I would subscribe to a Patreon if you had it. I'm like, okay, well, that's like five. So is it even worth doing for five people? And I don't know. Like, there's got to be certain perks that you offer and stuff like that. And the only thing that I can think of is just do the ones without ads. I'll do podcasts where I'll edit out the ads and then put them up there. Is that worth $5 a month? I don't know. Maybe it is to some people, but so I do have that up, hmbradio.substack.com. And you can always donate at on my Venmo, Will Coons, PayPal, all that stuff. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com. Instagram and X, Twitter, whatever it is, home_made_man. Make sure you follow the show over there and at Substack. And I appreciate that. When do you take down? I see you still have your Christmas decorations up right now. You're sitting behind a Christmas tree in the dark and in hell. And I thought that we were done. I thought that we were done with this. I thought yesterday was the day or the first of January. What?
Wrong.
Okay, explain why I'm wrong, because I got a lot of pushback on this. I had a tweet where I talked about if you still have your Christmas decorations up on after the 1st of January, that you're garbage. You're human garbage, that you are festive human garbage, but human garbage nonetheless. And you say wrong. So when do you take down your Christmas decorations?
It's funny. I had that exact thought. Forget when it was. Yesterday, maybe the day before. I don't know when the appropriate time is. I'm thinking like the first week of January, anytime during the first week of January. We haven't taken ours down because the boyfriend put it up, the boyfriend puts it away. So whenever he has the time or sees it, being the right time is the right time for us. But, there is a point where it's just sad. Like, this will probably make me sad in a couple days to look at this and be like, it's over, dude. Mm. Like, you're trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen, sort of a thing. Mm. So hopefully we get it down before then.
I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I do have a story about this. And some people were, I was being tongue in cheek with my Twitter post. I mean, I do think that the first, maybe the second, you should take down your decorations. And I did get, I do believe that in my heart, but I did get some people like, no, you just hate fun. You hate joy. And in fact, there's people who are answering it very seriously, this joke tweet. And I guess it's hard to tell. You don't get a lot of, verbal communication. You only get that, just the text that's on the screen and it's how you read it. So I was hoping that people would read it, maybe knowing that I'm being tongue in cheek a little bit, but there also always is a little truth to a joke.
But of course,
some people were saying like, no, this is wrong. You hate joy. You hate fun, which is not true. Cause I'm a big Christmas guy too. Now I'm old enough now that I like Christmas again, much like you. I think there was a period where it's obviously as a kid, you like Christmas cause you get stuff. And then as a teenager, everything's lame. Mm-hmm. Christmas is stupid. It's a pagan religion, et cetera, all those edgy things.
It's a commercialized holiday.
Yep. All those things that teenagers say, to just be a contrarian or what they think a contrarian is. But now I'm to the point now where I like eating and drinking, which is you do a lot of during the holidays. You take some downtime. You're not working. You're taking some downtime. You're enjoying the reason for the season, your friends and family, you're going to parties, you're eating and drinking more. Basically, you're eating and drinking is what I like about the holidays. Now, true, I know what you're about to say, Will, you're always eating and drinking. Okay, that's fair, but you're not cracking open the good stuff necessarily. You're opening the good bottles of whiskey that you've been saving throughout the year. You're having prime rib, your steaks and cookies.
Well, it's doing the things that you love to do without the judgment because you're actually doing it during the appropriate time.
Right. Yeah.
You could eat and drink all year, but even like the alcoholic, you're like, it's Christmas. Let him enjoy himself. You know what I mean? Even though he does that stuff every day or every week or whatever it is, it's like you do it. I mean, you're bound to do it at the right time at some point. And I know you go hard in paint in Christmas. Like I know some people who are taking the break very seriously. I feel like you're one of them. Like you are like, I'm tapping out. I remember you talking about tapping out like December 8th. I'm like, bro, that's like a month. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, and to be fair, like you did have a lot going on as far as like your girl had her 30th birthday. Then you went to Carolina. Then you came back. Then you went back to Carolina. You're driving, you're drinking, you know, so
same time.
You
sometimes.
Didn't have a lot going on,
yep.
But you guys go hard in the paint and I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a one, you know, month, because my birthday is in November, the end of November, so I kind of feel like that's when it starts, because then it's like, well, you might as well just keep going, because
your birthday is basically on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
so yes, it is the reason for the season. And so, I get it, like everyone is checked out, but for some reason I like to be moderately productive during the break or close up to it, because everybody else is so checked out that I just feel like I am a superhuman. You know?
Just by doing normal things too.
Doing normal things.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Well, that's good. That's good. I, you know, like you said, I took advantage of the holiday, and I forget where I was going with this now. I had just Christmas decorations, right? That's what we were talking about. And people were saying, you know, I feel like you take them down on the second, maybe, you know, there's that first weekend is the latest though. Like this weekend, if you don't have your decorations down, you need to be institutionalized. Like you can't keep them up all year round. I hate.
Why not? Why not?
Because then it's not special. It just becomes ordinary life. You can't just have Christmas lights up all the time. First of all, bad for the environment,
sure,
climate change.
Why can't you just be festive all the time? It's a great time of year.
Because then it's not special when it's Christmas. What are you going to do when it's Christmas time?
Put more up. I don't know. Our inflatables are down.
Imagine,
we had some inflatables outside. Those are gone.
Oh, you do have inflatables.
We had like six.
Oh, I hate inflatables.
Why?
They are the worst. They look bad. They're creepy. What were your inflatables? Did you have Snoopy on ice skates?
Well, my boyfriend is a very big fan of all things flight.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of helicopters, planes.
What?
Propellers.
What?
Yeah. Like, I think you're like Snoopy in a helicopter or plane with a propeller spinning. He did try to pay homage to my roots, and he did get a inflatable dreidel. I didn't realize that rhymed until just right now.
Inflatable dreidel, yeah.
Yeah, inflatable dreidel. And yeah, I think that was it. Maybe a Grinch. I think there was a little Grinch. Now, to be honest with you, Will, I was not a fan of the inflatable game. I thought that they looked like cheap. I didn't think that they had that kind of classic, elegant Christmas kind of vibe that you see with, like, you know, like the white lights wrapped around the tree. By white, I mean yellow, you know, with the maybe the wired deer, you know, like more of a classic elegant look. You know, we had Snoopy and we had an inflatable dreidel, which at first I was like, this is ridiculous. But as they week by week, as they remained up, it gave me much joy to realize that we were one of the few people in our neighborhood that decided to decorate it all. So I don't know. I got in the Christmas spirit. The boyfriend likes it. You know, happy. You know, they say happy wife, happy life. I just go like happy boy. Like I jump for joy. So
the
goy
boy. Yeah. You should have trusted your instincts, because the inflatables are garbage. I mean, those are the worst of the worst Christmas decorations. It's even worse when there's just inflatables, like the inflatables and then the projectors that people have. You just go,
the injectors, projectors might be worse.
They are bad.
I really didn't like those at all. So we didn't have that, but we did have six inflatables.
Do you know what else, what other inflatables did you have? Because it's okay. It's Snoopy in a helicopter.
There was
it's
a helicopter. Dreidel. There was a plane one. I can't remember who was in which one.
Who was in the dreidel plane?
There was a Grinch. And I think there was one that just said like Merry Christmas with like Santa in a plane. And it's like the flag. trailing behind him.
Yep.
Yeah. So
Santa plane inflatable. I'm going to look it up here. See if this is it. Is this it right here, Anna? Is that it?
Yes.
That's it.
Anna. That propeller spins, okay?
Dude, that sucks.
Well, we had like six of those, so.
Listen, I like Chris, but this is going to put him down a couple pegs in my book when I see him. Because that is ghoulish. It's satanic. It's so bad.
He likes aviation, okay?
I get it. But oh my God. It looks like a fair is on your front yard. Like there's bounce houses and like heathen kids jumping. Like I get it. Are you selling elephant ears on your front lawn? What is going on? Is there cattle out there too? Are you judging 4-H goats? Like what is going on your yard?
Well, our neighbors were involved in, they're very obnoxious people in every way. They're loud. They decorated their house like an EDM festival. Like they overdid it because they don't have a giant front yard, but they were in the running for that. I think it's a county contest, you know, vote for us house sort of a thing. And, so compared to them, I felt like we were pretty fine. But yeah, we don't even know how many people live in that house. I've seen upwards of 8-9 people. There's usually about 6 or 7 cars parked in front of it. We're very intrigued by them. I believe that the whole family has Cushing syndrome.
Oh, what's that?
Are you familiar with Cushing syndrome?
No.
Are you familiar with what a buffalo hump is?
I mean, I know what it looks like on a buffalo.
Imagine it on a human, though.
All right, let me look this up.
Yeah, so we call them the Cushings. We don't really know their names, but they're loud, they're obnoxious, and they all have Cushing syndrome. I was able to diagnose them with my eyes.
Oh, make too much cortisol over a period of time is what the...
You'll see the body type. It will be very familiar to you.
Okay, I got to look up pics. Pics. Okay, yes, I am familiar with that. It's just like a weird
Jerry Bell Park Walmart kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is everybody just stressed out? Is that the problem where you just create excess fat in certain areas? Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
So in the buffalo hump, there's a fat pad on the top of your shoulders.
Interesting.
Which gives the illusion of a humpback.
I always thought it was just people who drank too much. Like just the
I'm sure there's a lot of things that can instigate it. But I do think it is a condition in which you give yourself.
Yeah,
I think lifestyle. You see the fupa. I can't read. My eyes are terrible. But you see that extending fupa.
Pendulous abdomen. Like,
yes. The legs like do the opposite of like a bow leg. Like they come in. Mm-hmm. And you see that buffalo hump. What is it? What do they call it there?
Fat pads, buffalo hump.
Yes. That's the medical term is buffalo hump.
Okay. Interesting. I had no idea that this was, I assumed that it was, because it's usually like, not skinny, because obviously these people aren't skinny, but it's like a weird skinny fat. Yeah, skinny fat. And I just assumed it had to do with their booze consumption, that they were probably just drinking their calories instead of, you know, eating food, because they always have these like skinny legs.
Right. Yes. It's very much like the Kool-Aid man body type.
Yes.
Thin legs, big on top heavy. But yes, that's what the whole family looks like. Even the 19-year-old son has that body type.
Oh, so is it genetic?
I'm sure there's a genetic component, but I think it's mostly lifestyle. I can't imagine if you're going to the gym and eating any sort of vegetables that your body would look like that. So,
well, it says here that you actually have fat loss from arms and legs, and I guess it all goes to your midsection and in your neck and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's a body type that doesn't have like a lot of muscle at all. You could just tell.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, so those are our neighbors and they're very obnoxious. So our 6 inflatables really didn't hold a candle to their, you know, electric daisy carnival that they put on for everyone.
Hmm.
So
it says the treatments are reducing steroid use, okay, surgery, radiation, and medication.
Can I bring up a disease that I feel like isn't real?
Sure.
In the last month, and I don't know if this is like the, I forget what they call it, the red car theory, where once someone, you hear where one, you know, you see, you don't see any red cars on your way to work, but if you're looking for them, you see them everywhere, right? Sort of thing.
Yeah.
Hashimoto's disease is hot, and it is all the new trend for 2024. All the girls I know tell me that they have Hashimoto's disease, and none of them know each other. So it just seems a little bit odd. As soon as a woman, a white woman, gets in her 30s, all of a sudden her thyroid goes haywire.
Yes.
And I had three people over the course of a week tell me that they were like, two said that they were trying to get pregnant, but they were having issues because they have Hashimoto's. And then I had another girl jiu-jitsu last night tell me that she had a swollen, what do you call these, lymph nodes, whatever, yep, glands, mm-hmm, and that she was recently diagnosed with Hashimoto's. And I literally rolled my eyes at her and I was like, of course you are. It's like a hot girl disease. I didn't even know what it was 2 months ago, but in the course of 2 months, I've heard of like seven people in my orbit tell me that they have this disease, and I feel like it's not real.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Do you know if they're vaxxed or not?
I would assume two of them are of the ones I know, but
out of how
I don't
many?
Know. I don't know.
Out of how many people say that they had the condition?
In my orbit, yeah. I think it was six.
Okay, so two, and then another four, you don't know.
I don't know.
Because
I would assume all of them, but I don't know.
I don't, by the way, again, you know, I don't want to get into, we talked a lot about it over the past few years, but the Florida Surgeon General today just says no more COVID mRNA vaccines because there's a lot of medical risk to them. So
yes.
I don't know if he's banned them or not, but I'm with you, by the way, because I know that everybody says, including me, that they have a thyroid condition. I actually did get my blood taken last year and my levels were just out of whack, but then I got them tested again. And they were okay. So it's just me drinking too much is my problem.
Right. It's you.
It's me. It has to be me. And, but I will say that I wouldn't be surprised if there are negative health effects coming from, I don't know, just things that happened, you know, over the past few years. I don't know if that's on my lens or.
I feel bad because I didn't even know what it was. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, everyone has this disease. And it seems to be, you know, what all these people have in common is they're white women in their 30s. So I am just, I don't know. I don't know if this is from the, you know, the bam, 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 or if this is just a function of age, or if this is just something like, you know, like anxiety was really hot. I know it's totally different, but like everyone has like, oh, I'm diagnosed with this anxiety and that anxiety and depression and all that sort of stuff. But this seems to be like the next iteration of that. So keep an eye out for Hashimoto's because I feel like you're going to hear about it a lot now. Yeah.
Always called that, or was it just called an overactive thyroid or an underactive thyroid? Is that the official name for it?
Hashimoto's is specific. I don't know too much about it. I just know that it is, like you said, either a hyper or a hypoactive thyroid with the T3 and T4 hormones that are either too high or too low. But other than that, I don't know much about it. I know it's an autoimmune thing. Chris's mom had it years ago. So I don't, it's just like, it's a lady thing.
Yeah.
That white, it's like only white. It is the sickle cell anemia of white women.
Yeah. Interesting.
So
I'll have to keep an eye out for that. That is weird. I wonder if like other races are having it that they just don't care. They're just like, good. My ass is bigger. Good. I like that.
I don't know. I don't want to make assumptions about people, but I feel like white women are particularly concerned about their health in ways that maybe other ethnicities aren't or can't be. you know, I guess Hashimoto's isn't that big of a deal when you've got, you know, aggressive type 2 diabetes and you are immobile. You know, that's probably doesn't take the front stage. Did you know that this, I thought this was so funny, but I, Chris told me recently that in the hood, diabetes of the type 2 variety was called Sugarfoot.
I did know that. Yeah, because you eat too much sugar.
Yeah, and you'd often like suffer, you'd have to get like parts amputated, especially like your feet.
Yeah.
So I didn't know it was called that in the hood, but he's like, yeah, you got Sugarfoot. And I just thought that was the funniest thing.
They should bring that back. They should bring that back. Like that's Sugarfoot. That's a better term for it. I mean, it puts a kind of a positive spin on it, which I guess they don't want when you're talking about a disease that kills, you know, people who have it, but also it's funny and it's fun to say. And I think it would go a long way.
You know what? It takes, there's some accountability there, Will, which we've lost because for years they've been trying to tell us that type 2 diabetes is a completely genetic disorder and you can't do anything about it. So get your metformin pills ready. No, it's not. I'm sure there's a genetic component. Some people are more prone to it than others, but that's, you know, after your lifestyle choices have been put to excess for years and years and years. So I like that the hood has claimed that, like, no, man, it's not your genetics. It's Sugarfoot. It's you. Stop eating so much effing sugar.
Like you're going to watch a fundraiser where raising awareness for Sugarfoot is
sugar,
definitely.
You got to say it right, though.
Sugar,
come on.
Sugarfoot. Sugarfoot. Sugarfoot.
Sugarfoot.
Today we're going to be, we have Jimmy Kimmel is hosting. The donation center is sugarfoot.org. You can call right now, 1-800-24-SUGARFOOT, and we can get you your donation, Venmo, PayPal, anything you want, Will Koontz. It'll go right to Sugarfoot Surgeries and Prevention. So donate now. That's what I'm talking about. It is nice. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a new one for me that has been in the ether, but never crossed my radar until about 2 weeks ago. So Sugarfoot.
I think we have a name for this episode.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, real quick before we go here, sure. you don't have to go to karate, I guess. Now you're not in a rush.
No, I went to karate at noon today. Yeah.
Holy moly. I still feel guilty keeping you this late. I had to message you and be like, I have to do some changes here with the, and you were very,
I get it. I'm making some changes on Wednesdays as well. So this should be fine.
You were very accommodating. And again, I would just like to publicly, I've already privately told you, I very much appreciate your sacrifice.
Absolutely.
To continue to do my this program. My pleasure. It's very good. All right. So here's when you're supposed to take down your tree. Okay. According to WFLA. Can you see it on the screen there? Okay, good.
Yeah, I see it.
Good. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you have, I say, and I think in this article, they say that 50 something percent of people do it the week, you know, the New Year's Day and maybe the after. But January 6th is the Feast of the Epiphany, the date marking when the three kings arrived to deliver their gifts to the newborn Jesus. So that's why, according to Christian tradition, the Christmas season ends on January 6th. Is that not a coincidence or what?
It sure is. We go from resurrection to insurrection. I like that.
All right. That's the name. That's the name of this episode. What a way to end. Resurrection to insurrection, baby. January 6th, Feast of the Epiphany. That's when you absolutely have to take down your Christmas lights, your Christmas tree. So I better not see that in the background. Tell Chris to get out there, take down the Santa inflatable. Or I'm going to come over there.
I promise.
I'm going to come over there and put livestock out on the lawn. Otto Hummel, thanks so much. I'm looking forward to 2024. Again, the Substack is active. So go over there, subscribe to it, and we will figure out some sort of benefits for that. I don't know. The only thing I can think of, like I said, is just ad-free podcasts. And I'm in the process of moving, so hopefully I'll be done. I think next week I'll be all right, but maybe the week after I might need to I'll let you
end
know.
Of Jan, you're out, right? Is that the final?
Yeah,
that's the date.
I'm about halfway done now.
Really? Honestly,
yeah, I got rid of so much stuff. I went to the Salvation Army.
You don't have that much stuff.
I know. It's really easy when you don't have that much stuff. So I threw away, I don't know, gave away and threw away about 30% of my stuff. It's like the stuff you find when you're cleaning, you're like, I didn't know I had this. I found like nice stuff that I could have, you know, used, but it's just like stacked away, pushed away in the back of drawers and cabinets. And anyway, it's good. It's very cleansing. The next big obstacle tomorrow is going to be my closet, my clothes closet. And since I'm fatter now, a lot of my clothes don't fit. So I have to just go through one by one. Anything that's a little tight, getting rid of.
So you're just trying everything on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. That would be like the montage from hell.
Yeah.
You know, like when the girl in the rom-com's trying it on, and it's like, it's not the perfect dress. She's looking for that perfect dress. Yours would be much sadder. Just nothing fits anymore.
No, it's all man boobs and just guts sticking out of the bottom of the shirts. Now, maybe I'll make a reel out of it on Instagram. So follow me, home_made_man.
Please do that. That'd be funny.
Yeah, do that. And I'll take some pics of my fashion show and, you know, make it happen. But I'm hoping to come out of this with like 10 shirts. That's all I need. I know which ones I wear that I could get away with. Because I have access to a washing machine. It's not like I have to do laundry once a month. I have this my scheduled clothing. I know what clothes I wear, and I could get rid of everything else. You know, whether I do that or not, it's going to be tough. That's what I really have a hard time getting rid of. But I'm in the zone right now as far as getting rid of stuff. So anyway, I'll let you know. Looking forward to talking with you next week, Anna, if not sooner. And have a great evening. And thank you again for being so accommodating.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, ma'am. Sounds like a plan. For Anna Hummel, my name's Will Koontz. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.7, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you listen on podcasts, thank you. Tell a friend about it. Share it. HMB Radio on your favorite podcast app. willsyoutube.com. We do a live stream now Wednesday, 7 p.m. So I hope to see more of you there. For Anna Hummel, my name's Will Koontz. Talk soon. Bye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.